We'll be excited to be joined here in a second by one of our very own indie photographer, Neil Constantine. But first, I'll set the stage. Yesterday, tax day, thousands of protesters joined Within Our Lifetime Palestine in front of the New York Stock Exchange on Wall Street to protest U.S. investment and trade in the Israeli war machine and the use of their taxpaying dollars to kill tens of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza since October 7th. We're going to hear from the protesters.
Because we can't use speakers!
Because we can't use speakers!
Since the city and state! With the help of the NYPD! Are doing everything they can! To shut down pro-Palestine protests! Because we contradict their narrative! Because a majority of the people stand for an end to this genocide!
And that was Nardine Kiswani, co-founder of Within Our Lifetime, very prominent pro-Palestine group here in New York City, grassroots group out of Bay Ridge. And she's not wrong. A majority of U.S. citizens polled have said that they want a ceasefire. So protesters after they were at the stock exchange, they marched to the Brooklyn Bridge, and some were able to get on the bridge and begin to march on the bridge. I was there after they got blocked off. The first group that made it onto the bridge were followed by an enormous, what we could say, troops of police, right? We had SRG, we had the bike units, plenty of white shirts, the commanders, all out for the Palestine protests, of course. Another group went down into the subway and was able to continue their protest into downtown Brooklyn, Borough Hall, etc. The group that went over the bridge were chased down by those masses of police who ended up arresting dozens yesterday, including one of our very own photographer, photojournalist, Neil Constantine. And then we had another indie reporter who was on the scene who said that he saw another two journalists that were being apprehended. We got confirmation another one of those was also an indie photographer. So they're really going after the people journalists here. These journalists are wearing their press passes. And then, you know, but after, you know, after everyone was coming out of jail, like I said, there were dozens of arrested. Nardine Kiswani, who we just heard from, was arrested again after being violently arrested on Friday. So again, they're really pushing down on these protests. There was some celebration, and Nardine began to lead a chant, and Neil was right there, also having just gotten out of jail at One Police Plaza, and they joined in with jail support, and they were revelatory. So let's listen to that another thought of the protesters here. All right. Well, that was supposed to be ending by saying, Gaza, Gaza, you arise, Palestine will never die, which is the sentiment of a lot of this Palestinian diaspora that is here protesting for their homeland as their loved ones are being genocided, you know, with their own money. So Neil Constantine is here, who took that footage last night right after he got out of jail. Neil, welcome to the show.
Hi, how is everyone doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
Doing good.
More importantly.
I'm happy to be free. Happy to not be in a jail cell surrounded by our near NYPD. It was a wild day. It was a day full of commotion, day full of emotion, day full of illegalities being performed by the NYPD, and also just an unfortunate scene that unfolded on the bridge and also thereafter in Grand Army Plaza, as I had heard. I don't know where you would like me to start, but you know.
Yeah, I want you to tell me a little bit about some of what you saw and heard regarding, like, you know, you've been at these protests a lot. They've been violently policed. This one does seem particularly violent in that, like, blood was drawn. I heard maybe a protester was dragged across the ground. Could you retell some of what you told me yesterday?
Well, in recent weeks, especially, police have been cracking down and using, I don't want to say, well, I guess you could say loopholes, but using means of as much as being not being on the sidewalk as a way to wrangle and arrest a bunch of protesters and or target leaders of movements. And so what they've been doing is doing exactly that ever since, I would say, the mid-January areas when they started to really crack down on it. And within our lifetime, from what I've witnessed over the several weeks since that, has been one of the ones that had the hardest, I think, as far as like police just immediately not even giving warning some of the time. There was a recent on Friday where the police accosted people and arrested Nirdine also. And they had taken her a job off that night, wouldn't fix it, violating our like civil rights across the board. And it's just prevalent. It just seems like they keep amping it up. And one of the other things in the past couple of weeks I've noticed is that them going after press.
Yeah.
I witnessed and photographed a press person a week or two ago that was arrested by police. And I had been told that that person wasn't even in the street. And that was dealing with another situation, but they were still arrested. Press credentials clearly shown, clearly visible. And that's exactly what ended up happening to me, because the march made its way through the financial district and made its way to the bridge, tried to get on at one side, got blocked, and then went around and then went to the other side. And then from there is when police started being aggressive, being violent with the arrest unnecessarily. Several people said that, you know, the age old tactic of yelling, stop resisting as they slam people to the ground that were clearly not fighting back in any sort of vein. And so onto the bridge, it got separated. So there weren't as many, there was like over 1,000 people starting at the Wall Street area. And on the bridge, it got separated once the police kind of cordoned off the entrances. And so about, I would say, between 100, 200 people were on the bridge and we're making our way. And no one's being violent towards cars. No one. It's just, you know, it's stopping traffic. It's a protest and it's going its way. And then eventually police, a large amount, came from behind the strategic response group and others on their bicycles and on their and by foot. And what I've also was told that on the other side of the bridge, which I didn't get to see this because I got arrested halfway point, but that there was a massive amount of police on the other end of the bridge, a form of kettling. And there's also been audio that's alleging that police were on the police radio and that one of the officers are in charge advised, you know, kettle everybody. And so I was arrested by two police officers from the Strategic Response Group. They pulled up on the bicycles and they stopped me. And I told them right away, you know, I'm press. Hey, hi, I'm press. Clearly put it in front of a face and everything. If it wasn't clear enough, hanging from my neck. And the officer said, I don't care. You were trespassing. You can't trespass on property, which it's not a thing. And it's not even what I got charged with at the end of the day.
Right.
So they put me in handcuffs, and I will say this, that compared to others, the press pass is likely what kept me from probably being violently arrested, because there was another photographer who didn't have a credential pass, but, he was slammed to the ground and had scrapes on him. There's another gentleman that got slammed to the ground, had his ankle that he couldn't walk on, and he had deep like scrapes and cuts on his elbows from where they slammed him. And they rounded people up. I got treated differently from other people too, because there's people who had bags that could clearly be taken off and they were just cutting away everyone's bags, no matter how much it costs, no matter how much they said, hey, you can take it off. It's a book bag. They didn't care. Cut it off. You know, when there was a woman that was having, they were trying to take her necklace off. She requested that a female officer do it because the officer seemed like he's going to break the necklace or do whatever it is, and it to be searched, please, by a female officer. And they did not listen. And when everyone was yelling at this person to, hey, you know, you need to have a female officer, she's requesting it. One of the officers said that, we just, so you know, it doesn't have to be a female that does a field search. And we proceeded to do their field search on this woman protester. They loaded everyone up on vans and took us to the precinct, to which I was there, and I made sure, of course, as all along the way, hey, press, hey, press, how do you feel? Resting press. Silent stares, of course. But the protesters, all of them, their name included, and all the protesters that were there waiting, voices chants, telling every officer exactly which way the world seems to be flowing, and letting them know exactly what they think, and proceeding to have endless chants, just filling the space and the area in the precinct. And they've got us to put us in the holding cell and such. At one point, there was, just to make sure to mention, the woman that was apparently dragged by police when she was arrested. Not sure if she was arrested on the bridge or in the Grand Army Plaza area, that I wasn't able to ascertain. But she was bloody. She had blood coming through the mask that they had on her. You can see it staining through. Her feet covered in blood. Her hands were bound in front of her, and they were, again, covered in blood. So whatever actions occurred by police in regards to arresting her, and I think if my mind serves me correctly, it was a person, the same person also was bound and so tight that the hands were changing color and was requesting to have that changed, and they did not change that. So it's just an evident and not surprising effort by the NYPD to try to intimidate and try to target people. And now, as it seems, press, as there were, as you said, other people that were detained and told to go over a fence, and two journalists were then detained for a short period of time.
And right. Against the fence. And it should probably be noted that the press is like the non-mainstream press. Like, there are no there's not mainstream press at any of these actions, no matter how big they are anymore. They've moved on. You know, maybe they just see us as, I don't know. Anyway, I think that's just interesting to note too. Say that, like, they're just arresting you or people like us because they see us just as protesters. I think they still know that, like, it's important, like, arresting press obviously makes less coverage of these things, but two, I think it's important to note that, like, the Times does not come out, no local well-known paper, nobody, you know, it's the resistance press that's there. But I think we should probably wrap up pretty soon. Neil, I want to hear from you about why you continue to do this. Why do you continue to go out on the streets after facing harassment? Why have you been so drawn to covering these protests since October 7th?
Well, no matter what, at the end of the day, no matter what I am documenting or covering or interviewing or doing, the one thing I always remember is that the truth of anything doesn't stop. Like, it's with or without me, it keeps going. It keeps either growing, no matter what it may or may not be. And it's something that, if, you know, these people that these collective actions put themselves on the line, they have family that are on the line every day in Gaza and other places. And, you know, they don't get the option to stop. So if they don't get that same option, then I need to push through. I need to find a way to keep trying to get as much as I can before I have to go rest my head somewhere, you know? And I think that's something I try to remember, is that, you know, the truth doesn't stop, you know? You can either see it or you can be it, or you can be lucky and be both of it. But that's what we, it's what we do. It's the risk that we take to do, just like when you're out there.
Well, Neil's been doing some really incredible work for us of late. You can find it mostly on our Instagram, at The Independent, also at Neil Constantine. That's yours, right?
Yes, Neil Constantine.
Yeah, NEILCONSTANTINE, or at The Independent. Look at some of his work. Give him some love. And that's a wrap for today, but thanks so much for joining us and continuing to cover this and being on the side of truth. It's very valiant.
Thank you all for allowing me the space to be able to express concerns, and hope that the people come together to help, as always, bring change for the better.
Absolutely. Right. Well, that's it for that. But that, you know, John, you know, that wasn't the only action happening yesterday.
No, it was a busy day around the country and around the world.
Yes, there were. So it happened in coalition with the sort of currently autonomous movement, I guess you could call it, called A15 Action. So that was for April 15th, economic blockades for a free Palestine. So in addition to like protest happening on tax day all over the country and the world, you know, there were also many specific blockade actions, economic blockades. So this were blockading Israeli arms manufacturers or arms manufacturers that do trade with Israel in St. Charles, Missouri, Oakland, California, Maple Grove, Minnesota, Chicago at the Chicago O'Hare Airport, where we saw at least 41 arrests, I believe, in the Netherlands and Denmark and France, various places in the United Kingdom. There's actually a strong movement happening in Australia, even in New Zealand right now, and Beacon, New York, and then also a Pratt and Whitney, the factory that makes engines for Israeli warplanes, that's in Middleburg, Connecticut, Middletown. I'm sorry. That's in Middletown, Connecticut, Pratt and Whitney. It's confusing because it's the names of two, colleges, but it is a dealer in engines that sells, engines to bomb children in Israel. Sorry. I'm getting off my script if everybody can't tell. Pratt & Whitney is a factory in Middletown, Connecticut, and there was a blockade there, and we had some of our very own participating in that. They were effective in shutting down, you know, anybody going into or out of that for about 4 hours. There were major shutdowns around the country, and I just think it's important to note this, that the movement is not stopping.
Right. We had the Indies, Jonathan Rampagoa was on hand in Middletown outside the Pratt & Whitney factory, and we had footage from him up on independent Twitter and independent Instagram pages. So props to Jonathan for getting up there and being out there at a very early hour yesterday.
Yes, we actually have a very short clip. We can go to Jonathan and then greet our final guest. If you want to play that, Reggie, just of those protesters out there in Connecticut at 4 a.m.
No time is here.
So just one of many economic blockades happening yesterday to end the genocide in Gaza. That was in Middletown, Connecticut at Pratt & Whitney factory.
ديني على أرض تلاقيني أنا نهلي أنا فديهم.